Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. This is Truth in God's Word. It's June the 7th, 2016. It's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. We are broadcasting you from North Central, West Virginia. Continuing on today in our study of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the first book of Moses, one of five written by Moses, called the Pentateuch. Genesis, in the first couple chapters, speak of the creation, and the rest of the book of Genesis is dedicated to the redemption of mankind, God establishing Israel as his chosen people, calling Abraham, giving Abraham Isaac the promise, Isaac birthing Jacob. Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. The redemption of mankind, the Bible declares that Jesus Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. David said, "Who is man that God would be mindful of him?" That he would love us enough, as the scripture, probably the first scripture we ever learned in our Sunday school class was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that's me and you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is mindful of us. He says in his word, "I would that none would perish." It's not God's will that we perish. It's God's will that we live. The Bible says Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. Just not mere existence. Just not mere just being here walking around on this planet. We are all here for a reason. We were born in a certain time, in a certain season, for a certain purpose. The Bible says that all things work to good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So we talked yesterday about in the beginning God. We established that God was never created, that he was the cause of creation. He's everything as it regards creation. Nothing made that was not made by, I don't care what it is, nothing exists that God did not create. Nothing come to fruition of itself. Everything was birthed and created by an almighty God. The almighty God. God almighty. So we went down yesterday and we was talking about some of the names of God. We talked about Elohim, which is the plural God, giving us the Trinity. El Shaddai, which is the mighty one of Jacob. Adonai, the one the Jews said was the name was so sacred the sinful men could not repeat that name. Jehovah, Lord that I am who I am. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Jehovah Nissi, our banner, a place of rally, so to speak, of waving, as we say, the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Everything points towards Jesus Christ. You know, I heard a wise man, well, Chuck Missler said this. He said, if you have a problem defining Scripture, put Jesus Christ in the middle of it. And I've tried my best to practice that. If we have problems defining Scripture or getting revelation on Scripture, excuse me, then put Jesus Christ in the middle of it, because all things were made by him and for him. Nothing made that was not made by him. We also talked about Mam Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord who makes us holy. And today we'll go on to Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. My, the Lord our peace. Judges 6:24 says, Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. And unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abrazites. If I don't pronounce some of these words right, please forgive me. So he is the Lord our peace. Now, Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. The Bible declares in Philippians that if we keep our mind upon him, that he will give us peace that passeth all understanding. If there was a time and an age that people needed to get a grip on peace, it is now. Peace doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from involvement in the world. It doesn't come from worldly activity. It doesn't even come from church activities. Our peace comes only through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If he is lifted up, as he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. So he is our peace. He is Jehovah Tiskanu, which is he is our righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Now, we use the scripture, and we've heard it said when I first got saved, coming to the church, we heard the scriptures that he who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now, that doesn't mean that we're out there grabbing for just righteousness that comes from us, because Jesus Christ is righteousness. We cannot create within us any righteousness, because the Bible declares that we're not good. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you're a leader of Israel, but I must tell you that you must be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our life. There's still power in the blood. The Bible declares that we overcome Satan and the powers of darkness by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we're not even to love our lives to the death even. So he hath made us free. He is our righteousness. So seek him, because the Bible declares that our righteousness is but filthy rags. As I'll repeat the scripture, Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. It goes along with the scriptures, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and shall be set free. Jesus Christ is the answer for all of our problems, on a national level, on a worldly level, on a local level, and down to our very own personal lives. He is the answer. If we seek him, and the Bible says, if we seek him, we shall find him. But he says, when you seek me with all of your heart. See, we have to be dead men. Paul said, I reckon myself to be dead, that Christ might live through me. Jeremiah 33:16, in those days that Judah be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Moving on to Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Familiar scripture, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John 10:11 tells us that Jesus Christ, if you read that, you find that he is the good shepherd. And I read chapter 10 of the book of John. He talked about, let me read verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that by the door into the sheepfold but climbeth up in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So he says, I am the way. I am the way. He declares he's not a hireling, but he is one who regards and takes care of his sheep. The Word of God declares also that he's Jehovah Tiskanu, which is the Lord our righteousness. I'm sorry, I repeat myself here. He is Jehovah Shemam, the Lord is there, and a very present help in the time of trouble. In Ezekiel 48:35, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city that day shall be the Lord is there. The glory of the Lord is there. Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we need his presence and his power. He said, I must go, and I'll send you one back that'll comfort you and lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness, the paraclete, the one that comes along aside to help, who we yield to. We put our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his finished work, and the Holy Spirit helps our infirmity, because the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jehovah Shabbat, which is he is the Lord of hosts. Host means horde or angel armies, or can even mean his creation. In Isaiah 1:24, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. The Bible says it's a terrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God. Listen, he's a God of justice. You don't hear that a lot anymore, but he's still a God of justice. He's a God of love, but he is still a God of judgment. He's long-suffering. The Bible says his mercies are renewed daily, but from what I look and see around the world and in this nation, I believe that the judgment hand of God, I believe, is already working in degrees and maybe in spotted areas. I don't know, but unless people turn, unless people repent, then there's no choice. God has to judge. And guess where he begins? He says, I begin at the house, at my house. Jehovah Elyon, which is the most high, the very high, the absolute right to lordship. El Roi, the all-seeing God, the all-knowing God, omnipresent, omniscient. And Genesis 16:13, and she called the name of the Lord and spake unto her, thou, God, seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Now, this is reference to Hagar when she was in the wilderness running with her son, Ishmael. And the word of God declares the angel of the Lord said that God's watching over you. He's seeing. He sees what's going on in your life. See, nothing escapes the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. The Bible declares that the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So we have the next one, El Olam, which is the everlasting God. Psalms 91:1-3 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return, ye children of men. He's El Gippor, which is mighty God, mighty warrior. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. John saw him in his glorified state with hair like wool and feet like brass. Upon his vest was written the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword, which is the word of Almighty God. The Bible declares that God will destroy all of his enemies in the times to come and at the end of this age. And the Bible declares he will rule through Jesus Christ with a rod of iron from a city called Jerusalem in Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and of wrath of an almighty God. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ will set up a shop, so to speak, set up his kingdom, where? Jerusalem. And he will set up a theocracy. No longer will men rule and reign on this earth. is a time when all knees shall bow, my, and all tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there we have the names of God Almighty. And the second part of that, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the original creation. I'll get into a lot, you know, people say, well, there was the Big Bang Theory, you know. People argue Darwin's theory of evolution. And, you know, I've heard him say for years there's a missing link. Well, the missing link is God Almighty, because we did not evolve. We were created in the image of an Almighty God. See, we take the Word of God as infallible, as our rule, as our roadmap, as what we believe totally, rightly dividing the Word of truth from Genesis to Revelation. So, in the beginning, God created. Now, that word created is, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar nor a Greek scholar, but I'm going to try to pronounce these words, is bara, which means without any materials, without any substance whatsoever. In other words, it wasn't already made. Time it wasn't. It wasn't already made, but he spoke it into existence. He is the Creator. The Creator. So the Word of God says, as we said, God was unformed and unmade. He had no beginning. So what we have here is a dateless past, which, you know, we can't go back and put dates when it happened. How many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago this took place? Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things are the Lord, the mysteries are God, and he only gives those things through revelations on a need to know basis. He told Daniel, he said it's the in the end times. He said, shut up the book until the end time. So I do believe that Jeremiah says, call unto me, ask of me, and I will show you things that you know not. And he will give us revelation in these last days. So Solomon spoke in Proverbs 8:22-31. We know that Solomon, when God asked him what he wanted, he said, I want wisdom. He didn't ask for great riches. He asked for wisdom on how to handle situations and circumstances. Now, real wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. There's a lot of pseudo-wisdom going on, a lot of so-called education. But if it does not include God, then it's vanity. The preacher said that. That's Solomon himself. Said vanity, vanity in the book of what, Ecclesiastic. Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. He was coming down towards the end of some of the situations and problems that he was involved in. But we have in Proverbs 8:22-31 that Solomon declared that from the beginning that wisdom was God, that God is wisdom. The Bible declares in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So let's read Proverbs 8:22-31, and this is wisdom speaking, so to speak. The Lord possessed me in the beginning, and his way before his works of old. Now, the book of Job relates a lot to God's works of old. Daniel calls him the Ancient of Days. So, the Bible declares that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is eons above us. He's clearly on another plateau. And the only way that we know him is when he reveals himself to us. And he has revealed himself in this Bible I'm holding in my hand right now. These 66 books is the wisdom of God from Genesis to Revelation. Every bit of it inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people think you're closed mind if you believe that. Listen, this book that I hold, that I'm looking at right now, When you read it, it'll read you. Believe me, I know from experience. It'll read you. It'll slice you. It'll dice you. It'll let you know exactly what is going on in your life and what you need to do, what you need to get rid of, to lay aside every weight. Okay, so talking about wisdom again. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Who was there? Wisdom. And he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree on how far to go, and the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him, and as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. This is talking about the wisdom of the Lord, God's wisdom from the beginning, stressing the Creator. God wasn't created. Jesus wasn't born again. Jesus wasn't created. He was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. The Logos Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God is God all by himself. So in the beginning, we put through the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we'll get in next time on a lot of things, what many teach and, you know, what I personally believe, but, you know, everybody's got their own writing. And it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ. But, you know, the original creation, what went on between verse 1 of chapter 1 and verse 2 of chapter 1, the original creation, as opposed to some say, and I believe, that between verse 1 and verse 2, at the beginning of verse 2, that span of time, there was chaos. There was something happened upon the earth. So we are winding down. We really can't get into that today. But read the book of Genesis. Read chapter 1. We'll try to get through this day by day as God lets us do this. So, you know, pray for us that that God will give us the words to speak, because I'm certainly not a Bible scholar, but you know, we can dissect the Word and let the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us into all truth and all right. Once again, our goal is preaching Jesus and preaching Him crucified. As I said before, as Brother Missler said, he said, when we have a problem, put Jesus right in the center of it. And that's what we want to do. We want to put Jesus Christ in the center of everything. And most of all, you need to make Him center of your life today. If you don't know Him, then ask Him into your heart. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Call on Him, repent, denounce the evil in your life, turn from your wicked ways. He'll give you strength to do these things, and He'll save your soul and change your life. And if you need healing today, the Bible says that by His stripes that we are healed. Need deliverance in your mind, the Bible declares He was chastised for our peace of mind. So let's go to prayer. Father, I thank You today, Lord, we've done the best we can today to impart Your Word, and You said it won't come back void, but it'll do that what You sent it to do. And I ask You today in Jesus' name that You save that one out there today that needs salvation, that one, Lord, who You're dealing with in a mighty way. Lord, just let them open up their heart and let You into their lives, that You might change their lives in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those that are sick today. Lord, as they lay their own hands on their body today where they're ill, and that chronic illness and that flare-up, so whatever goes on in their life, you know, cancer, diabetes, Lord, blindness, deafness, Lord, You took stripes for all these things. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, that they're healed by your power. They're healed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, you said some were healed instantly and some were healed as they went. Lord, as they believe you today, as they stir up their faith, which is the gift of God, stir it up today to believe for the healing. Lord, touch that one that's struggling mentally today, Lord. It's fighting depression, oppression, whatever it might be. We ask you, Lord, you said that you give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I ask you right now in Jesus' name, that you touch and heal and you deliver. God, help your people in these last days, Father. Do what needs to be, and let us die out to ourselves, and let us put on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and do the best we can to be obedient unto you in the days that we have left upon this earth. Whether we go by the way of the grave or whether we're taken out of here by the rapture, whatever it might be, Lord, let us be true to you, Father. Let us be a servant unto you. Lord, we ask you to touch the people today in the mighty name of Jesus, for your glory, we ask it be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. The Bible says, study, show yourself approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed. Read the Word of God. Believe the Word of God, because it's infallible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word will never, ever pass away. Believe God. We'll continue on in the book of Genesis next time. May God bless each and every one of you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthework777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
And the meek shall inherit.